us through promises. That's the theme this morning. And we've just heard that reading where God promises Abraham. He doesn't say, I promise. He says, I will. So I wonder what you think a promise is. What is a promise? Well, it's up there if you weren't sure. A promise is a declaration of something that will happen. Have you made any promises recently or even this week? Of course, Enrico and his parents and godparents, of course, have just made promises over him. Have you made promises for Lent? Just let that sit for a moment. We make promises all the time, don't we? We promise, perhaps this is just me. I'll do the washing up more regularly. I'll watch less TV. I'll get up earlier to pray. I'll work harder, be nicer, and I exercise more regularly, I say to myself. But so often it doesn't quite happen. Promises happen at all levels of society, don't they? Of course, governments make promises. They're often called treaties, of course. And of course, businesses are constantly making promises as well. We go into contracts and get involved in that. But so often, of course, we see promises broken. We're constantly seeing broken promises. Dare I say it, are we really leaving the EU on the 29th of March? What about climate change treaties? Are we really following those? Trust in politicians and public leaders is quite low at the moment. We in our families, also in our family, I've suddenly realized how many promises we've broken. I actually asked the children yesterday, okay, can you remember of an occasion or times when I've broken promises to you? They were all too quickly able to make comment. One of the girls turned around and said, yes, you said you'd ring me and you never did. Yes, exactly. I was able to throw back, well, good, I'll use that as an example, but are you okay if I say that you promised to take the dog for a walk on a regular basis and you haven't kept that? So they were very happy to bounce that backwards and forwards. Broken promises. How does that make us feel? It undermines trust, doesn't it? Broken promises are really quite hurtful sometimes, and I think it's really important to remember that. And so let's just, for a moment, we all make promises, but just if you're here with your family, why don't you just turn to one another and just say and recognize, I'm sorry where I've broken promises. And if you're here on your own, you feel perhaps comfortable to talk to the person next to you and say, yeah, I've broken some promises. I want to say sorry to God. Or if you just want to sit there in quiet and just speak to the Lord. But why does, in a moment, we recognize where sometimes we don't fulfill our promises, and we want to just say sorry. Can I encourage you to do that for a moment with one another? It's totally okay to sit there in silence on your own if you're on your own. Well done. Well done. This morning, of course, we read about Abraham and the promises that God made to Abraham. Can we have the next slide? There we go. I should do it. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And so on. Tell me how many promises you think you can see. Just amongst yourselves. Chat to your neighbor again. How many promises do you think you can count in that passage? How many? Seven. Seven. Can you put the next slide? I will, I will, I will, I will. That's right. Seven promises. Does anybody have any idea how many promises there are accredited to God within the Bible? 85? 1,000? Any more? I would suggest going higher. 366. Very specific. What? 3,000. We're getting there. I have to say, I have not counted them myself, but I heard, actually it was a friend of Bill Johnson's, there we go, so I haven't counted, but can you put the next slide up? Closer. 7,700 promises accredited to God in the Bible. It's a lot. The difference between our promises and God's promises is that God is going to fulfill his promises. God is a God of truth. He's utterly, utterly trustworthy. And if God says he's going to do something, he will do it. The challenge, of course, for you and I is that he often and generally doesn't do it when we want to see it fulfilled or when we happen. And I'm sure that many of us probably have unfulfilled promises that we think we've heard God share with us and yet we've yet to have fulfilled. And the challenge is for us to stay into that place of trust more in the moment. But we are surrounded by eight, at least, of God's 7,700 promises. And they're hanging on these amazing banners, which we've borrowed from All Saints. And what I would love us to do is splitting us right down the middle. So this middle section, you're looking either way, I'd love, one at a time, we'll do it alternate, this side to speak the first promise over this side of the church, and then this side of the church to speak the next over this side of the church. And these are promises of God from Scripture. So I'm going to start with this side, and then we'll just bounce backwards and forwards. So speak it loudly and clearly. Children, you can enjoy and get involved in this. Children, see if you can shout the promises, okay? See if you can be louder than the adults around you, okay? So after three, I'm going to ask you guys to go first, and then you're going to bounce back with you're going to do that one, and then you're going to say that one. Does that make sense? Are we there? So one, two, three. Okay, just read one of those for yourself. Take one of those and just say it to yourself three or four times. Let it go down. Hold it. That is a promise of God to you, not just for today, but every day of your life. Wherever you are in life, wherever things are, what resonates for you? So God is the God who fulfills his promises. God does what he says. If we went back to that piece of scripture with Abraham, God said to this couple who were 80, who were barren, they had no children, and he said, "You will become a great nation." In fact, Abraham and Sarah laughed at God at the idea that at 80 they would start having children. But nothing is impossible for God. And of course, they ended up having a child. And he became a great nation. And Abraham was blessed. Carry on going through. You see that how all nations are being blessed and are continuing to be blessed. That we still remember Abraham 4,000 years after when he was around. God's promises will be fulfilled, even if they are not in the time that we would so often like. I take encouragement in the letter to that Peter wrote, where he said, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with us and will fulfill the promises in the right way and at the right time." God keeps his promises, but not necessarily to our agenda. And as a bit of fun, I'm hoping now we're going to have a video who will tell the story of Abraham in a slightly different way.
So this is where we are in the story.
God made a perfect world, but people messed it up.
God started the whole earth over again
with an enormous flood.
But he saved one guy and his family.
And everything was good again.
But after lots and lots of years,
it seemed like not much had changed.
People were still selfish.
Still mean.
And the world still wasn't how God wanted it to be.
So God decided to fix everything that had gone wrong.
With one very special family.
That's where Abram comes in.
Abram was an old man.
75. That's old.
Before Abram even knew who God was, he heard him speaking to him.
God told Abram to leave his home and go to a new country.
Imagine if God told you to move far away, like tomorrow.
To Canada.
Or Uzbekistan.
Well, Abram did it.
He left his home and went where God told him to go.
And God told Abram that he'll make him into a great nation.
Which was a big deal because a great nation meant lots of kids.
And grandkids.
And great-grandkids. But
Abram didn't have any kids.
Remember, he was 75.
And that's pretty old.
And his wife Sarai was 65.
Kids never ask a woman how old she is.
So God's promise seemed kind of unlikely.
Not just unlikely.
Impossible.
But Abram believed.
So he waited. And waited. And waited some more. For almost 25 years.
And when Abram was 99 years old,
God told him again
that he would have a son.
And as part of this promise, God changed Abram's name to Abraham. And Abraham's wife became Sarah.
So Abram was now Abraham.
And Sarai was Sarah.
As a way for them to remember God's promise to them.
The promise that they would have a son. God even told Abraham what to name his son.
Isaac.
And God said Isaac would have two sons of his own.
Abraham's family would keep growing
and growing
and growing. Sarah still had a hard time believing this.
She even laughed at God.
She was 90 after all.
But God always keeps his promises.
And a year later, Isaac was born.
And years later,
another special baby was born into the same family.
His name was Jesus.
Have you heard of him?
But just think.
If Abraham had stayed home and ignored God,
maybe none of that would have happened.
But that's another part of the story.
God keeps his promises. What do they say? Nothing is impossible for God. So whatever situation you're in, whatever promises you don't feel have yet to be fulfilled, God is there. And if you do have a promise that hasn't yet been fulfilled, I'd encourage you, take it back to God and say, God, you promised this. Where will I see that fulfilled? And how and if there's anything that you need to do, but even if that's just waiting on the Lord. But we said how many promises were attributed to God in Scripture? 7,700. Well, there are two promises I just want to highlight as I come to an end. The first one is in Romans, where if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead, you will be saved. What does saved mean? There are so many aspects of our lives that mean saved, but ultimately means back into relationship with God. Set free from the burdens that bind us in our daily lives. Free from hopelessness and depression. Free from fear. Free from isolation. Free from chair crisis. Free from the things that drag us down and bring ultimate sort of spiritual or emotional death to us. Jesus brings life if we welcome him into our life. And that is one of those promises from God that is free for each of us. The gift of Jesus that we can welcome into our life. And the second one is, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, streams of living water will flow from him. If you're feeling dry, if you're feeling despairing, if you're feeling, you just lost in life, we can invite Jesus and the Holy Spirit into our hearts and become a living wellspring once again. Those are promises that are available to you and to I. And I offer that. And if that is where you feel you are today, and you'd like to either ask more questions or to be prayed for at the end of the service, we would love to pray for you wherever you are, to introduce you to Jesus, or to pray that life spring of water into you. So let me pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're the God of promises, and you're the God of the impossible, and you're a God who is utterly trustworthy, and you keep your promises. We thank you, Lord, for the promises that you kept for Abraham, that as a barren old couple, they ended up having children because you promised it, and that we are still the fruit of that family and the fruit of that promise, and we are still being blessed as a result of that promise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.